Let's pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our grandson, Adrian, who is 4 years old, knows exactly how many days it is until Christmas. He is filled with eager anticipation. Bring it on. It's wonderful to once again have small children in the family for whom Christmas is so exciting, for whom the prospect of Christmas brings great joy. The prospect of being with these children at Christmas brings me great joy. Joy is our topic on this third Sunday of Advent. The story of Mary and Elizabeth, which Claire read for us this morning, is filled to overflowing with joy. To read it and to reflect upon it makes my heart sing. Earlier in this first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Mary is visited by an angel with some astounding news. You, Mary, will become pregnant even though you are not yet married. You will have a son whom you will name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Mary is taken aback, of course. Goodness gracious, how can this be? After a bit more conversation with the angel, which includes the news that her older cousin Elizabeth is also miraculously pregnant, and the reminder that with God nothing is impossible, Mary says, "Okay, let's do this. Let it be with me according to your word. This is weird, but very exciting. Bring it on." We get a sense of just how excited Mary is in the first words of the story that we heard this morning. Mary set out and went with haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth. She is full to brimming with wonder and joy, and she needs to share it with someone who is in the same boat, someone who is also experiencing an unexpected, marvelous pregnancy, someone whose very body has also become a vessel for God. Now, this is not some cerebral, esoteric experience for Mary and for Elizabeth. It is visceral and real in the way that our bodies are real. Their responses come from their guts, or rather their wombs, which is where God has lodged. There's no holding back. When Elizabeth first sees Mary, the Spirit moves in her and she exclaims with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." She has no doubt that Mary brings something special. She has confirmation in that this is real, for as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, she says to Mary, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And thanks to Mark, we have a wonderful image. The child leaped for joy. Then, in the presence of Elizabeth, Mary lets her joy overtake her. She opens up her heart and sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Mary's joy comes from a wonderful epiphany. God is doing marvelous things for us. This is God's way of responding to us who are poor and downtrodden, those of us who haven't known where to turn next. This is God's mercy on us. He has shown the strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. This miracle, this is the miracle that is happening in my lowly body. This miracle is the realization of God's promises to us. It's really happening. Let it be. Bring it on. Notice that what Mary understands about the fulfilling of God's promises is very humanly based, very concrete. God is responding to real needs. The lowly are lifted up. The hungry are filled with good things. This happens because unjust political and economic systems are turned upside down. The proud are scattered in the thoughts of their hearts. The powerful are brought down from their thrones. The rich are sent away empty. What Mary sees and what gives her great joy is a reversal of the way that things have been. She foresees an opening up of possibilities that have previously been withheld from her and those like her who are at the bottom of the societal heap. She sees a savior at hand. She understands from the depth of her being that God coming to live among us is truly good news for the lowly and the poor. Can we join Mary in this joy? I'd like us to spend some time this morning thinking about the ways we see reversal happening in our world. Where do we see the lowly being lifted up and the hungry being filled with good things? Where do we see folks responding to the leading of the Holy Spirit in very concrete ways? Where do we see what do we see that is a source of joy and hope in our often troubled world? I've got a couple of examples, but then I'm going to ask you to share yours, so start thinking. Mike Martin's work with Raw Tools is to me a source of joy. Mike is a member of Bethel Mennonite Church in Colorado Springs. In response to the Sandy Hook shooting in 2012, Mike felt compelled to respond to the scourge of gun violence. He pondered the words of the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah and Micah, words about beating swords into plowshares. The swords of today are guns, he realized. The plowshares of today are garden tools. He established Raw Tools to literally beat unwanted guns into garden tools. In the nearly 4 years since Mike started Raw Tools, Mike estimates that he's taken in a couple of hundred guns and made around 60 garden tools. Tiny numbers in comparison to the 300 million guns in America. He says he recognizes the complexity of the gun debate and doesn't expect to turn all the nation's firearms into spades and hoes, but he sees a role for organizations like his, organizations which advocate for nonviolence at the grassroots level. They provide a ritual space for processing grief and offer symbolic tools for sowing peace in the world. The work of Raw Tools is the work of reversal. It challenges the dysfunctional way things are. And this is done concretely, bodily, creatively, with real guns, real fire, and anvils. Folks are involved in literally turning tools of death into tools of life. And this gives me hope and joy. Second example. Sarah Jackson cares for folks who have been detained or have family members who have been detained by ICE, which is Immigration and Customs Enforcement. In response to the needs she saw among these folks who are undeniably at the bottom of our societal heap, Sarah established Casa de Paz in Aurora, near the detention center. Casa de Paz, which is translated as is House of Peace, offers free lodging and meals to guests visiting their loved ones who are being held inside the detention center. They also host guests who have been recently released from the detention center and need a place to stay as they make plans to return to their homes. In this way, Sarah and her volunteer colleagues fill those who are hungry, bodily, physically, literally hungry, as well as hungry for hope and for human kindness. They fill those who are hungry with good things. They also challenge the status quo, which treats immigrants as criminals, by remembering and living out the words of the Old Testament. You too must show love to foreigners, for you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. Sarah and Casa de Paz give me hope and joy. Now it's your turn. In this Advent season, in your community and in the world, where do you see reversal happening? Where do you see the lowly being lifted up and the hungry filled with good things? What is it that gives you hope and joy? I'm going to pick up the microphone and come and ask.
So a couple weeks ago, well, story goes back. There's a company, in Highlands Ranch. They're called Highlands Ranch for the Homeless, and they've adopted our school. Last year, they brought socks for all of our kids, and it's a mom, and it's several moms, Highlands Ranch moms, who were teachers, and this year, they collected donations for a holiday shop, so each one of our kids, we have like 580 kids, got to pick 2 to 3 presents for their families. So each one of them got to go home with presents for their families. And so that was, the kids were quite excited about that. And then last week, then they gave us lunch. And so as teachers, whenever you get free lunch, that's always during the, we get very excited about that. So, but yeah, they were able to help our kids and continue to ask for anything. They've given us lunch boxes, they've given us coats, and so it's kind of cool.
I will continue on that homelessness theme. As this past year, through my work at Everence, I was privileged to be a part of the beloved community Tiny Village. And these are tiny homes that were built. 11 of them were built and are over in the Five Points area, homes for the homeless. And I just marvel at, to me, it's what a wonderful way to share our resources and to see the people coming forward to help. And now even the Five Points neighborhood is really stepping in and doing marvelous things for the homeless there. For me, it was an opportunity because I had not really done a lot with homelessness before. And this, for me, to sit across the table and talk to homeless people and hear their stories was incredible. And I am just so glad that we have that opportunity and continue to. And I continue to have some relationships with a few of the homeless people that are now in their tiny homes. And knowing, too, some of the ones that were supposed to be in the tiny homes there's a lot of mental health issues, a lot of things that, for me, I think having a roof over my head would be fantastic, but for some people, that isn't the answer. So just trying to figure out the homelessness answer. But this was just one small way that they were able to help, and I was just thrilled to be part of it.
Tough. I said tough. It's my turn. The high school trips that my school does last year, 40 of our students and 4 of our teachers, went to New Orleans, and they stayed at the Center for Ethical Living and did service down there. And one of the organizations they served with is a group called Days for Girls. So in many parts of the world where hygiene products are not available, girls don't go to school when they're having their period, and they have no means of dealing with that issue. And so there's this organization called Days for Girls that creates these reusable pads, and then gets them to the people who need them and trains them how to use that. And the statistics are just staggering. Girls in parts of the world lose a year to 2 years of education because, you know, for a week out of the month, they're just stuck at home. Recent evidence shows that women's education is the key to all kinds of things like climate change and peace and and sustainability and lots of things. So after they did that in New Orleans, they came up here and goes back to Highlands Ranch. There's some wealthy white evangelical type folks in Highlands Ranch who have started a chapter for Days for Girls, and these folks came out to our school a couple of months ago, about a month ago, and did a whole morning of service where they kind of took us through the process of creating these things, and now several of our students are going to make that their service project, and they're going to work on that for a couple hours a week. So it's really, really impressive to see people who are able to identify a problem, a potential solution, and then see it through.
I'm going to mention the Second Chance Center for helping people coming out of prison, finding housing, finding work, finding clothing, and then, of course, our church helping out with the backpack projects as well. You know, these guys coming out of prison, even the women coming out of prison, they don't have anything. And just for our church, just to help them out, even with just the basic needs, is a huge, I don't want to say, just a big help. Yeah. So, yeah, Second Chance Center.
Very concrete responses here. This is good.
As part of the Bemis Public Library where I work, we are also the home of the Littleton Immigrant Resource Center, which is one of two libraries in the nation that is BISAC certified to provide citizenship processing. So we have full legal services, we do sliding scale assistance, they have tutors for the citizenship exams, everything. And at the start of this year, when there was a lot of fear and a lot of anger about the new administration's policies and stances on things, we had more people volunteer with the LRIC in 1 month than had volunteered in the entire 2 years put together. What has been even more amazing is that that's continued. It wasn't just a knee-jerk response to the first month. It has not died down. In fact, we're to the point where we don't have positions for those volunteers, and we're having to help them find other things in the community, other places where they can tutor English as a second language and other opportunities to help the immigrant population. And so to see that example of love in our community, because Littleton is a conservative community. It's a wealthy white community. But to see the response to people who are not like us, and to see that love and that dedication has made it easier for me to handle some of my emotions about the things I don't like in the world right now. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Stories of reversal, stories of joy.
Well, for me, as many of you know, the Salvation Army has really given back me my son, and he literally could have died based on, you know, his drug addiction. And in more than one ways, Salvation Army has given back, because not only is my son totally involved in the Salvation Army, we had a kid stay overnight this week at our house, and he was trying to get him in the program itself. So my son has put a lot of effort. He goes down to the Salvation Army several times a week and volunteers and helps out. And so in that way, it's given him something to live for as well. And so with the Arapahoe House now closing in the Denver area, it is going to be a big need in the Denver area to continue this kind of support for people. It's Christian based. It gives people positive energy in their life to live their lives to a full life, and so that program in itself just really is important at this time.
Thank you, Devonna.
It's a story of true salvation for BK. Yeah. And also a way to, for us to be involved with asking our officials or whoever is in charge of helping things like Arapaho House be present to talk about that. Anybody else? Stories of reversal that you see, stories of joy and hope. Thank you. Well, thank you for those places of hope and joy in our world, and there are many more. I want to leave you this morning with the words that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in ancient Thessalonica as they were figuring out what it means to be living out the good news of Jesus Christ in a world in need of reversal, a world much like ours today. Rejoice always, Paul says to them. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. I really like that. It reminds me of Mary and Elizabeth. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets like Mary and Elizabeth, but test everything. Hold fast to that which is good, that which lifts up the lowly and fills the hungry with good things. And abstain from every form of evil, that which fosters greed and fear and self-hatred and isolation. May the God of peace sanctify you entirely. May your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. The one who calls you is faithful. The one who calls you will do this. With Mary and Elizabeth, let us joyfully say, bring it on, let it be whole. Amen.
As our hymn of response, please take your purple Sing the Storybook again and turn to number 124, My Soul Cries Out. Number 124 and Sing the Story. I think I'll ask you to stand.